Miami, July 5th and July 31st. Ice Cube's Big 3 is back at the Amerant Bank Arena. Featuring big stars like Dwight Howard, Joe Johnson, Lance Stephenson, and more. And featuring your home team, the Miami 305, led by Michael Beasley. Grab your tickets now at big3.com/tickets or Ticketmaster. Presented by iHeart.
Another busy week for Ohio State, kicking off with this Monday on the beat. That is Jeremy Birmingham. I am Austin Ward. And we have to start this version of the Austin and Berm Show with some honesty, full transparency, and coming clean with the fact that we did every position group, but there is still one spring rewind review preview that we must do. There's a unit that we haven't discussed, and it is the coaching staff, arguably the most important piece, Berm.
Yeah, and I don't want people to think that we're trying to pull one over on them. We're not trying to be full of shenanigans or tomfoolery or any of that stuff. But you know, in each position preview review that we did discuss a little bit about the coach at that spot. But maybe we felt it was necessary to give a little bit more conversation about the realignment of the coaching staff, what it means for the program after a national championship. But more than that, and this is the crux of this all, folks. If you're listening, America, here's why we're doing it. We realize that there are actually fans out there, Ohio State fans, who are not insane, right? And it's not to say that those who are living and breathing and eating Ohio State football on the daily, minute by minute, are a problem, because they're certainly not. That you pay our salaries. But there are some folks out there that are a touch more casual and maybe don't have the minutia of this program or this coaching staff on their mind every second of every day. And so this episode is for them. It is for the casual.
Wait. Don't tell everyone else to turn it off, Berm.
Oh, no. I want them to stay turned on. You know what I mean?
Oh.
But.
Wow. Coming out hot on a Monday morning.
I do think it's important that we reach out to the casuals out there and say, hey, listen, these are the men leading the program that you are spending money on, whether it's directly or indirectly in the state of Ohio. So it's a really good staff, and the Buckeyes should be excited about where the staff is going. It's extremely young. I had been given a touch more time as we prep for this, because here's another spoiler alert. We're recording this very early on a Friday morning because I have got to go to a wedding on Friday afternoon.
You're saying a lot of things to start the show.
Yeah, I feel it's a combination of lack of sleep.
Okay.
And just a full want to be transparent with people. Also, here's how good we know it's going to be. This is going to be a good weekend for Ohio State. We know the Buckeyes are very likely going to add at least one commitment to the class of 2026 this weekend. So we can, you know, say to people who are watching this on Monday morning, hey, how about that, huh? But I don't know, man, when you start to break down this coaching staff, it obviously starts with Ryan Day heading into what, year 8 now for Ohio State, and the Buckeyes are in a situation
at Ohio State,
where it's hard to imagine a more relaxed coaching staff than this right now. Which is weird, because it's not like there's not a lot of things for certain coaches on this staff to prove, or people who have, I don't want to say chips on their shoulders or whatever, but and there's new roles, there's new pressures, there's new challenges ahead. But it all starts with Ryan Day, and what we see out of him right now as one of three coaches in the country who have won a national championship. Like, you and Tim May talked about this on Thursday night's Buckeye show on 97.1 The Fan, but like, and it's been discussed elsewhere before. You and Adam King talked about it on the Talk of Tuesday. Like, Ryan Day is relaxed, but like, I don't think that there's any like lack of focus or any dulling of the competitive blade. Like, this dude is like locked in right now.
Yeah, I actually think that you can say that this coaching staff has a chip on its shoulder. And we can go through pretty much every single part of that coaching staff and find reasons
and
that
we will
exist, and we will, but it does have to start at the top with Ryan Day. And I, because you have seen the monkey removed from his back, winning the national championship, there's still another one that exists. We know that the last weekend in November is still going to be critically important for him. Although the way that he has talked about this offseason, and focusing on the opener against Texas tells you how that mindset has shifted a little bit, because I think that's a reflection that he, what has he said since he was the interim coach? Do you remember that, those press conferences when he was filling in for Urban Meyer? Berm, it's like, that was the first time we heard the expression, if you don't think every game is important, try losing one. And this is now the full manifestation of that. He has won the national championship. And when we sat down with him 2 weeks after that game in Atlanta, and he was back in the team room, he was already counting down the days till Texas. It's like, he knows that the perception of him around the country, in Columbus, with the fan base, media coverage, all of that could change on a dime and be like, well, what have you done for me lately? You just lost to Texas, and this season could be fully off the rails after week one. He knows that that's the way of the world, and he can also embrace that reality in a different way, because he can then go to the podium if something goes sideways at any point during this season or two seasons from now. Say, you remember that trophy? Go look at it in the lobby. I won that, and I did that. So he is intent on doing it again, which is where the chip comes into the shoulder, because he is a relentless, ruthless competitor. But you can also go about your day-to-day business in a very different way. You have some opportunities to, you're not going to be the play caller. You're going to be more involved in NIL. You have a different sort of relationship with Ross Bjork. We could say 100 different things. You have time to play a pro-am in May at the Memorial. You can go on the Tonight Show. And you get to, he can follow his own path a little bit in a way to set this forward in a way that maybe he wasn't comfortable or able to do for the last 4 or 5 years. But the chip on the shoulder is still very much real. And as we get to the rest of the coaching staff, I think we can identify what that would be for Brian Hartline as a full-time play caller for the first time. Matt Patricia trying to rewrite his career trajectory coming off of what people viewed from him in Detroit. We can go down the list, but all of them are in place because Ryan Day has the confidence and ability and validation to put them there.
Yeah, it's just, it's insane to me to really consider how very different this offseason could have been for us had Ryan Day not been able to get his team to forget November 30th. By the time that they rolled out onto the field against Tennessee on December 21st last year. Like, this offseason went from being one that had the capability of being more tumultuous and insane than anything we've ever experienced in our time covering Ohio State to maybe the most relaxed, carefree, easy offseason of all time. But it also has included Ryan Day multiple times in various venues and different outlets saying, we're just getting started now. Like, we have just begun what we're going to do. Ryan Day's message, which has always been, once we get one, once we win one of these, once we get over that hurdle, because he's been on the precipice so many times in his short time as a head coach, once we get one, look out. Like, it's coming. This is now, this train is now fully rolling. Now, that doesn't mean that there won't be losses, because there may be one on August 30th. Like, that's real. That's real life. But we now live in a different era of college football. And I hope if one thing results from the way last year unfolded, it's that the diehard fans, the ones who I told to turn this video off, 7 minutes ago.
I wish you hadn't done that.
Wait, I hope they came back by now. if there's one thing that they learned, it's that the game is different now. And yeah, you want to win every game, and so does Ryan Day. I understand it. But if you do lose one, it doesn't mean the end of the world. Now, that doesn't mean anything for the Michigan game, especially this year. Like, it's going to take on a different weight, and we'll talk about that for the next 7 months, so we don't need to really talk about it now. But for Ryan Day, this is an opportunity for him to give people a view of what his fully realized vision for the program is. And I think it's going to be awesome to watch. And, you know, we saw the Nick Saban run of the 2010s at Alabama. We saw what Kirby Smart has been able to do, at least at a fraction of that at Georgia in the last 5 years. We saw Dabo and Clemson win a couple titles in a 3 year stretch. To do that, you have to have a program that is fully running without hitches, without kinks in the armor. And the Buckeyes are really, really good right now. I mean, we've talked about it a lot. This program from top to bottom is as complete and as well-rounded as it's ever been. And Ryan Day, it's his program now. Like, you can't just, we can't be like, well, he took over for Urban Meyer. He had a that's long gone. Like, this is now all Ryan Day.
It was already long gone when people were holding that against him in the offseason list breakdowns and coaching rankings. It's crazy to me that lingered for as long as it did. But as you said, that there can be no real dispute about that. As you look at this, though, so when you're talking about building a potential dynasty, that coaching staff piece is critical, and it does start in a lot of ways with a coherent vision at the top. And when you have to go replace Chip Kelly and Jim Knowles in the same offseason, lose both coordinators, that does become an interesting challenge and a new test for this. I think you can almost look at this as the second chapter for Ryan Day at Ohio State. It was all building up to what happened there at the end of the 2024 season and heading into the playoff. They reached that mountaintop. And if he's going to do it again, it has to be with a more heavier Ryan Day flavor, if that makes sense. And you look at this coaching staff now handing over the reins of play calling to Brian Hartline, the youth of Billy Fessler, Carlos Lachlan into year two. Keenan Bailey has been one of the key right-hand men for Ryan Day now, basically the entire time that he's been in the Woody Hayes Athletic Center. We can find the chips on the shoulder for each one of these individual guys, but all of them were put into this place by Ryan Day. And we know that he has a vision for what his offense is going to look like. And then it becomes the charge for these five guys to implement it, because there can't be any turning back. Ryan Day, the saga of his 6 years was, can he get to this point where he's willing to hand over the play calling and be the CEO of the program? And he did that, and it worked. So now he's got these handpicked guys that he trusts to continue to do that. It's not that he's not involved. It's not that he's not going to work with quarterbacks. Not that he's going to be influencing the call sheet Sunday through Friday. But this now begins the offensive side. If Ryan Day has to implement an overall vision for the program, Brian Hartline has to be much more proactive in implementing what he wants and how he's going to change the offense, if at all, which, you know, that's going to come with Ryan Day's approval, of course. But this has also been something that's been building for several years as Brian Hartline moves into this seat.
Yeah. What's kind of nuts as we look at these five offensive coaches, and then you consider Ryan Day as the sixth offensive coach, right? This staff is remarkably young, as we said at the jump here. But it's year eight at Ohio State for Ryan Day. It's year eight at Ohio State for Brian Hartline. It's year eight at Ohio, or year nine, I think, for Keenan Bailey. Like, it's actually a very experienced staff when you consider Tyler Bowen at 35 years old has 15 years of experience. When you consider Billy Fessler has been coaching for 7 years now, like, this is a really interesting dynamic. And I think one of the more remarkable storylines for me is how Brian Hartline and Ryan Day, who have walked the same path at Ohio State, they've been there together the entire time. There was a presumption, I think, in 2023 when Brian Hartline was initially promoted, that Ryan Day didn't fully trust him. And I just do not get that feeling now. And again, maybe that's because Ryan Day is able to take an exhale that he wasn't able to at that point, and it allows him to give that sort of
I think it might be that he trusted himself more, and not it's just a slight shade of difference. Not that he distrusted
Ryan. Right. I think that's fair. I Ryan Day, and I was actually on Thursday morning when I was at the Woody Hayes Athletic Center getting ready to start, wait for a recruiting camp to start, was talking to Maurice Clarett, who was there. And, you know, I've said this 1,000 times. I've said it on shows before, but Ryan Day does not trust people very easily. And to see Maurice Clarett, a guy who was at one time persona non grata at Ohio State, walking around free and easy and with a thumbprint to get any room, you know, like, Ryan Day, I think, is learning that he has to give that sort of grace to people. And Brian Hartline's earned it. Like, he has earned it. And so this year's offense, whatever it becomes, is going to be a combination of both of their personalities. And I think it's kind of interesting in that Brian Hartline is viewed, I suspect, by a lot of people as a touch more outward, a touch more let's confident, maybe arrogant to a degree, just to
swaggy.
But Ryan Day has all those same characteristics. He just promotes them in a different way.
Yeah.
I really think that this is the first year we're going to see Ryan Day let go. And I don't even think he truly did that a year ago with Chip Kelly. And again, it's because the freedom of having the national championship and the trust that he's gained and the way he's watched Brian Hartline grow in the last year plus, because Brian Hartline, and we've talked about this before as well, he could have got a real attitude about Chip Kelly coming in last year.
Yeah.
And he didn't. He took a back seat. He took a moment to learn, took a moment to grow, literally and, I mean, figuratively. If you look at this photo of him, he's jacked. I don't know. Edric Houston on Thursday was like, oh, he's in the weight room every day at 6 a.m. before the rest of us. So, like, Brian has decided to quite literally firm himself up for this 2025 job.
Maybe he didn't like the way EA Sports made him look in the video game.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you figure as a guy who spent years being in the Madden football games, he wouldn't care about that. But he's definitely different. And I've made mention of that before. Like, there's a difference about his personality and a maturity to him that has taken time to develop. And I really think that that's going to benefit him and the entire program in a way that I don't think anyone would have anticipated when it felt like, to the outside looking in, that he was just, well, he's the next in line. Let's not make a splash at OC this year. But it's not that. Like, he earned it. And I think he's given Ryan Day in these last 4 months a real view of why he's the guy.
Yeah. And as you said, it wasn't just when Chip Kelly came in. It was also going back to 2 years ago when it was like, you're going to put on the headset in spring camp. You're going to start calling plays. Ryan Day's ready to trust you with that responsibility and give it over to you. And then yanks it back, almost before the end of spring camp was over. We were seeing like, maybe Ryan Day's not going to stop calling plays for this team. But
yeah, but that, I think, doesn't the question have to, like, I don't know that we'll ever get a true answer for this, Austin. And maybe you can give me your opinion. Was that because Ryan was not trusting Brian, or because Ryan was just not trusting Ryan? Like, was he not trusting his
I think he's got
decisions because everything else was so weird.
I think it's both. I think it's all of the above. But I think he is so competitive. We've talked about this all the time. But he's also got that mentality, that mindset that he can, if somebody was going to take the fall for things going wrong in 2023, I want the responsibility. I think I can do it best. And if it goes wrong, I want the accountability on me. I think it is all those things. And to pick just one of them would be folly. I think nobody gets to the point of their career or achieves what Ryan Day has done without believing fully in their own abilities. And that's the part that you're talking about. It's not as simple as just delegating and then washing your hands of it. He's ultimately responsible for everything that happens at Ohio State. And that is a difficult burden. It's also why he's very well financially compensated for that job. But I think it can sometimes cloud the decision-making. It can make it difficult to, again, I think it's a shade of gray that it's not distrust. It's more trust in yourself. And I think he has gradually worked away from that. And you also recognize that Brian Hartline has the same fire and determination and football IQ as a Ryan Day, and that Keenan Bailey has spent this time and has spent a decade trying to work into a full-time role and then be trying to prove himself as the best position coach in the country. And Tyler Bowen, you ask him to come in, you're going to trust him to coordinate a run game and get the same offensive line results really that Justin Fry did in terms of development on the way to the national championship. And everyone said, well, why is Tyler Bowen here? He's not coached offensive line in, how, you know, 10 years. Chip on the shoulder. Carlos Lachlan, I want to be the best running backs coach in the country. I don't think people recognize me as that chip on the shoulder. Billy Fessler, like, everyone thinks Ryan Day is coaching these quarterbacks. I want to have an impact here. So that's not the direct answer to your question, but I think that you have to factor in 100 different things into every single decision. And Ryan Day 2 years ago would look at, well, I can be the solution to all of them because at some point in my career, I've had to be involved in all of that. And that was the unhealthy part.
Yeah, I think that there's a little bit of doubt still nationally about whether or not Ryan Day is that guy. But I think internally, he has validated to himself that what his vision was worked. And it can work. And I think that that ultimately is going to lead to some very interesting things for Ohio State. And before talking about the defense, I want to add one part. Like, the biggest change from last year to this year is not the play caller, in my opinion. It is the how does Tyler Bowen replace Chip Kelly and Justin Fry's contributions and the run game coordination side of things? Like,
right,
Brian Hartline and Ryan Day Chip Kelly may have been the guy on the headset calling in the play, but throughout the week, those who have been just as integral in developing the game plans and figuring all that stuff out. Now, it's not to suggest that like the in-game minute by minute adjustments where Chip Kelly has decades of experience doing that aren't going to become an issue at some point this year, but Tyler Bowen's contribution as the run game coordinator, because that is not Brian Hartline's specialty at all, that is going to be where I think he has to make his mark at Ohio State. So coming from Virginia Tech, where he didn't have the resources or the talent or anything else, like I imagine he's just excited about the opportunity to help shape something like that at a place like Ohio State, which is why Matt Patricia's back in college football.
Talk about a guy who's excited about being in college football and having a new responsibility. And this guy, I think this... We've talked about him a lot over the last month or so, or 4 months. I think this might be the most excited I've ever seen any coach to arrive in a new place. That sounds like hyperbole and recency bias, but like for all of the, he said on his first press conference, he said, "You guys are going to hear me say this a lot because I'm really excited to be here." And then he's backed that up every single day since then, where when he goes into the Woody for a recruiting camp, like he did on Thursday, he looked like he was going to Disney World. Like he was smiling. He was joking with, you know, prospects, current players, other coaches. And I recognize fully, and I said this on Thursday in Snap Judgments, like that honeymoon could end quickly if they don't defend Arch Manning in Texas very well on August 30th. And maybe we won't see the same personality after that. I don't really believe that personally, based on the day after day approach that we've seen in every part of the job. But like, man, usually you see some guys, they've accomplished a big goal when they get to Ohio State, and then they're awestruck by the situation they find themselves in. And maybe there's some of that where Matt Patricia is amazed that there's 60 people covering Ohio State on a daily basis, more than there were with the Patriots, and definitely more than there were with the Lions. But like, he's definitely not arriving with the mindset that he doesn't belong here or that he can't really make an impact.
And anecdotally, on Thursday, I mentioned on Snap Judgments that I made a joke to him about the red twisted braids that Edric Houston had, and whether or not Matt Patricia was going to do the same thing. And he said, "No." He said, "Most of my hair's falling out." And Edric Houston said to him after, he said, "So are we making your hair fall out?" And he said, "No, you guys are the reason it's growing back." But like, and I mean, take that for what it's worth. It's obviously his hair's not really growing back, but this is an opportunity for Matt Patricia to reset himself as a human being. And you can see it. People have joked about how different he looks, just, you know, size wise, the weight loss that he's had over the years as he's gotten into boxing and doing other things. But this is just it's indicative of a man with a very healthy mindset right now. And I think you can see Ohio State is really good for him. And I think that will eventually result in him being really good for Ohio State. And the most interesting thing to me And it goes into the details of what Ryan Day and how deep the Buckeyes go when trying to figure out alignment and chemistry amongst their coaches. Like, there is a long, he's got history with every one of these coaches on the Ohio State defensive side of the ball, except for McAreary, who Ryan Day has clearly stamped as one of the next big things in college football himself. So, like, he's worked with Larry Johnson, he's worked with James Laurinaitis, he's worked with Tim Walton. Like, he knows all these guys. And there's an intentionality behind it that I don't think when the hire was being made and everyone was kind of looking at it from a, whoa, that's a weird hire that we didn't really know about. And now you see it, like, Matt Patricia and James Laurinaitis are like two peas in a pod. Like, those two are constantly talking, constantly planning, constantly trying to figure out the right thing. And some of that's because Patricia's history is as a linebacker, and I'm sure they have a little bit of, you know, yin and yang there, but I see Matt Patricia as a guy who is going to be the reason. And this is what we call a callback in the business. A week ago, I said James Laurinaitis was going to be the next head coach at Ohio State. I think a guy like Matt Patricia is one of the primary reasons why that will be the case. Because barring something extraordinary happening, like the Oakland Raiders or the Las Vegas Raiders or whoever they are now offering him $6 million to be their defensive coordinator next year, where no one expects it to be, I think Matt Patricia wants to stay in Columbus for a couple of years. And I've heard, I mean, again, anecdotally, I've heard like his goal is to be the DC for 5 years and turn that over to James Laurinaitis. And then Laurinaitis is in line to be the head coach after that. But I just think that what Matt Patricia is bringing is a perspective and the word you use is right. It's an excitement that coaches don't generally possess because they're tired. They're worn out. And this is a guy who's not tired or worn out.
Yeah. I mean, seems pretty re-energized by both the opportunity and maybe even a year, quote unquote, away from football. Certainly the day-to-day grind was different for him over the last year or even 2 years, maybe. But the dynamic is also fascinating to me because generally when you see a coordinator come in, and you referenced the background here with the rest of the defensive staff and why that this may look different for Ohio State than others, like usually they have their guys, their assistants that they want. They might keep one or two. They might need the recruiting background or profile or pedigree of guys that were existing on the staff. And that exists here, but that's not the reason that there were no other changes to the defensive staff, because Matt Patricia and Tim Walton, especially, I think, really see eye to eye. The James Laurinaitis relationship you mentioned hit it off immediately. Larry Johnson's, you know, legacy in the background is.
But they come from the same tree. They come from the same tree, and so they speak a similar language, which is important.
That's the part that doesn't generally exist when you make a change at the top, because the defensive coordinator position, that is the head coach of the defense, and they want to be able to install their own vision. And it's Matt Patricia is somewhat unique to this because he can run any defense that you could possibly want. And the Tim Walton and Matt Guerrieri piece, where we were going into February thinking, okay, this could be the co-DC part. Ryan Day certainly is very open to that. Maybe that is even the leading option. Then Chip Kelly leaves. Maybe you need a more veteran coach to come take over the top. You didn't have to have somebody who's going to overhaul Ohio State's defense, because the defense was not broken. It was the number one defense in the country. The rest of the staff was all full of guys who would immediately get new jobs elsewhere and bring more than just one thing to the table to the benefit of Ohio State. So how that has meshed, I think that we have more intrigue with the offensive side. It's Brian Hartline and Tyler Bowen, like, had never had that time together. Where Matt Patricia sort of just took over Jim Knowles' office and everything else was like basically the exact same. So yeah, that's
the question, though, is it? And that's what I think makes the defense interesting. On offense, we know it's Ryan Day's offense, right? Like, we know that. How does Matt Patricia take the pieces of the Jim Knowles defense that worked, but still put in his deep? This is a Super Bowl winning defensive coordinator. Like, he is not coming in to run someone else's defense. And so we don't really know what changes are happening on the field, but I would bet there will be more of them than we have anticipated. And that being the case, I do think it lends to some, it is a big swing mentality for Matt Patricia, because his reputation is on the line. If he comes in and this defense is it falls off because he's decided to implement his own stuff, then all of a sudden you have people going, well, wrong decision again, Matt, you suck, go back to Detroit. Anyway, I don't know. It's gonna be fascinating.
I don't think he's gonna go back to Detroit.
Probably not. I that seems like one of the options that are for sure off the table. Let's talk about the next wave of coaches. You brought it up for a second on the screen. How many years did we talk about Keenan Bailey and Billy Fessler before they became full-time assistants? We talked about Brian Hartline when he took over as the
five for Keenan.
Right. We talked about the Brian Hartline impact in 2017 when he came into the program for the first time as Zach Smith's assistant. We were like, oh, this is, pay attention here. This is worth watching.
Yeah.
And because of the changing NCAA rules that allow a basically unlimited coaching staff now, there is a whole line of guys here that are behind the scenes, that are assistants, that are quality controls, that are defensive assistants to the offensive assistant, to the coordinator. Like, it's all kind of,
there's also guys that have been full-time assistants at Ohio State.
Right. There really should be someone's job at Ohio State to just create titles of other jobs. Because if you look through the Ohio State the list of Ohio State
coaches, the
directory. That's the word I'm looking for, the directory. If you look through the directory, every one of these guys has a somewhat different title. Like Devin Jordan is the wide receiver's assistant. And then you'll see someone else is the offensive assistant to wide receivers. Like, I don't know what the jobs mean, but there are some names here that are worth knowing and guys that have been full-time assistants. And in the case of Devin Jordan at the top of this list, the guy who's been at Ohio State nearly as long as Brian Hartline. It's funny, on Thursday at Ohio State's one-day recruiting camp, that they offered the wide receiver from North Carolina, the 2028, who I was talking to him and I said, you know, what's it like having two full-time receivers coaches out there? And he talked about Devin Jordan and I said, you know, it's kind of unique to not just have two full-time basically receivers coaches, but both of them played at Ohio State. And he's like, oh, I didn't know Coach Jordan played at Ohio State. Like, so Devin Jordan isn't even like out there beating his chest or pumping that up. So this is a really good group. You've got players here that people at Ohio State fans should know from being players at Ohio State. You've got guys who are former Ohio State assistants. You've got guys who in Miguel Patrick who have been at Ohio State before and come back. You've got full-time assistant coaches at Purdue and Oklahoma State a year ago. UCLA full-time assistant in Tony Washington. Like, this is a really interesting staff. Michael Hunter, who's got all these ties in the Southeast. Like, it's a really, really good group, and it's a reminder that in a unfettered, unlimited era of college football coaching, people want to coach at Ohio State because all these guys can have jobs somewhere else.
Or in the case of Nate Ebner, they don't have to work at all. And I think there's a much longer discussion, and hopefully we'll be able to have Nate on the show soon to break down his return to Ohio State, because I think that's a fascinating piece of the puzzle, especially as we've talked maybe too much, or I don't know, I feel like not enough about the special teams.
Yeah, you love talking about special teams. I remember many times asking if we could talk about kickers and punters, and you just being like, yes, that's all I want to talk about. And certainly not telling me that's stupid and we should never talk about special teams, because you wouldn't do that. You would say, no, we should talk about this. People love hearing about special teams, he'd say.
Prove it that I didn't do that. That's the challenge for you. Yeah, you know what? We got to the end here on a Monday on the beat with another spring review, preview, rewind. And it's like, you know what? We should have just done the offensive staff on one and the defensive staff on the other. See, we're not milking it for too much. We're just having a longer episode on Monday than normal.
Yeah, that's all right. Mondays are for musings. And today we've mused.
We will. And
it's a really good staff, folks. I mean, we'll take it for what it's worth. They're young. There's a lot of uncertainty and chips on shoulders and all that stuff. But this is a really good group. And I'm going to tell you, it's not meant to be smoke up their butts or to be a homer berm or whatever. Like, these are really good men leading this program. And it's a group that Ohio State fans should be super excited to have representing the Scarlet and Gray, even the casuals out there.
And they're going to be back out there at the Woody today, which is Monday for camp, right?
Absolutely. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, then a massive official visit weekend, and then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, then a massive official visit weekend, and then a Monday, then a Tuesday, and then they're all on vacation.
Yeah, so it's happening all in a hurry as business is picking back up for Ohio State in June. We'll keep an eye. Byrne will keep an eye on that with the recruiting impact. I'll be back at the Woody trying to get more information on these workouts over the summer for the current
roster. We'll see if we can grab some of these coaches in their 4 or 5 minute downtime and add them to the mix here on one of these shows. But I'm telling you, if you watch these dudes at these camps, like they are just nonstop. It is pretty impressive. All the things they get accomplished in the few hours that they're there. On Thursday, Tim Walton and them were at the building at like 6 a.m. And then I saw on Instagram he had a bowling event with all of the defensive backs on Thursday night. I'm like, how's that happen?
They don't sleep, man. And the coverage at 97.1 The Fan, 10TV, 10TV Plus, and on the Austin and Berm channel on
show.
YouTube. Austin and Berm show on YouTube. It won't sleep either. So we'll be back for more, and we'll talk to you shortly. Maybe there'll be some snap judgments. That's TBD. But either way, there'll be a lot more coverage coming up for Ohio State as camp season rolls along here in June. Thanks for starting this week with us on The Beat. He's Berm. I'm Austin. We'll talk to you later.
Miami, July 5th and July 31st. Ice Cube's Big 3 is back at the Amerant Bank Arena. Featuring big stars like Dwight Howard, Joe Johnson, Lance Stephenson, and more. And featuring your home team, the Miami 305, led by Michael Beasley. Grab your tickets now at big3.com/tickets or Ticketmaster. Presented by iHeart.